I'd like to welcome everyone to this final webcast for registered bidders for the 2018 Basic Generation Service, or BGS, auctions. I will be joined today by Dr. Chantal Lacasse, the auction manager, as well as representatives from the EDCs who will assist us in answering any questions you may have. The presentation audio, as well as webcast slides, will be posted to the BGS auction website later today, to the backup bidding page. To access the materials from the webcast, you will need to use the login information circulated to you with your notification of registration. Additionally, posted to the backup bidding page will be an information packet associated with the materials for this webcast. The bidder information packet will also be circulated via mail to you. Time for questions will be taken at the end of the presentation. You can, as Samuel said, you can insert your questions at any point, and we'll address them at the end of the presentation. Today, we'll be going briefly through where we are in the process and what's coming up next. I'll be giving some announcements, including the tranche fees. Chantal will be talking about transmission rates, as well as the auction rules and online bidding, providing actual screenshots from the software that you will be seeing during the trial auction, as well as the actual auction itself. Finally, we'll provide you with the procedures for backup bidding, as well as reminders and recommendations for submitting your bids during the trial auctions and the actual auction themselves. Again, to ask a question, locate the Q&A panel on the right-hand side of your screen. Select all panelists in the Ask box. Type the question, including the relevant slide number, and then click Send. And then before I go any further, I just want to include the following disclaimer, that any statements herein describing or referring to documents and agreements are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by reference to governing documents, which are available on the BGS auction website, which is www.bgs-auction.com. So if you're attending this webcast, that means you are a registered bidder and you have successfully completed the two-part application process for the 2018 BGS auctions. The next item, major item that is happening is the trial auction. The trial auctions are bidders' opportunity to practice submitting bids through the online auction software and placing backup bids. We would encourage everyone to attend the trial auctions, new bidders and old bidders alike. For old bidders, it's a chance for you to get any new members to your team up to speed, as well as to ensure that the systems that you have in place at your company maintain or are still able to work with the auction software. The trials are scheduled for this Thursday, January 25th, and login begins for the CIP auction at 9 a.m. In order to participate in the trial auctions, you will have need to have returned the certifications that accompanied your notification of registration. So if you have not yet done that, please send those to the BGS Auction Manager team at bgs-auction@nira.com, and we will send you the confidential information needed to access the auction software during the trial auctions. After the trial auctions this Thursday, the next big item is the actual auctions itself. The BGS CIEP auction starts one business day prior to the BGS RSCP auction. The BGS CIEP auction begins February 2nd, that is Friday, February 2nd. The BGS RSCP auction begins the next business day, which is Monday, February 5th, 2018. The BGS auction manager will circulate to registered bidders the schedule prior to each bidding day so that bidding teams can prepare for the subsequent bidding day. prior to the start of the actual auctions, we will be announcing or communicating round one prices to registered bidders. That communication will come in the form of a phone call to the authorized representative or a nominee for the bidding team and will not be an email announcement. That communication will occur on January 30th for the CIEP auction. It will occur on January 31st for the RSCP auction. Once the auctions finish, the board will either approve the results of the auction or reject the results of the auctions. The board decides separately to approve the CIP auction and or the RSCP auction. It is possible that the results of the RSCP auction are approved while the results of the CIP auction are not, and vice versa. This decision is expected within 2 business days of the close of the BGS RSCP auction or CIP auction, whichever comes later. However, the board does have the ability to consider the results of one auction while the other is still ongoing. While the results of the BGS CIP auction and BGS RSCP auction are considered separately, results within each auction are not. That means that it is not possible for the results of one EDC to be approved without the results for all of the EDCs to be approved as well. Finally, I just want to quickly recap the products available in the auction. Recall for the BGS RSCP auction that the products are for an individual EDC. The EDCs are PSENG, JCP&L, ACE, and RICO. For each EDC, there is a tranche target as well as a low cap. And for the RSCP auction, there are 2 types of low cap. There are a specific EDC-specific low cap, which means that is the number of that's the maximum number of tranches that you can bid and win for a particular EDC. For the BGS RSCP auction, there's also a statewide low cap, which limits the number of tranches that you can bid for and win on a statewide basis across all 4 EDCs. We've provided the tranche targets, EDC low caps, and statewide low cap on this tab. The BGS RSCP auction, again, the products are for each of the 4 EDCs. Unlike the RSCP auction, the BGS CIP auction solely has a statewide low cap that limits the number of tranches that bidders can bid for and win on a statewide basis. Moving on, I wanted to provide you all with information releases that have happened since the November webcast and information releases that we are making today. Transmission rates were announced on January 16th. Chantal will go into the transmission announcement in a little bit. The final seasonal factors were announced on January 17th, accompanied by a final rate spreadsheet in our rate spreadsheet tool. The transmission rate announcement and final seasonal factor announcement are available on the BGS web auction website via the Contact Us tab on the news tab under the announcements page. Today we will be posting a mark-to-market information release as well as final decrement formulas. The mark-to-market information release will be posted to the contract and credit page of the BGS auction website. The final decrement formulas will be posted to the auction rules page of the BGS auction website. We will send an announcement to registered bidders once those documents are posted. Finally, I will be announcing tranche fees in a couple of slides. As a reminder, the final seasonal factors that were posted on January 17th are 1 for each of the EDCs in both the summer and winter seasons. The seasonal factors are applicable only to the BGS RSCP auction and are used to translate the final auction price into the supplier payment rate by season. These seasonal factors will be in effect for the entirety of the BGS auction, BGS RSCP supplier master agreement term. While the final seasonal factors are set at this time for the entirety of the term, there are changes that are possible during the three-year term of the BGS RSCP supply period that may affect suppliers. These include decisions by the board or legislative changes that affect winners at the BGS RSCP auction, the rate design, the BGS RSCP rate design, as well as the CIAP line are subject to annual review, and any changes to the rate design and or the CIAP line would affect 2018 winners on a year-to-year basis. Additionally, changes may happen with respect to the renewable portfolio standards in New Jersey, as well as PJM market design. And finally, before I pass the presentation off to Chantal, I just wanted to make an announcement with respect to tranche fees. Tranche fees are paid only by winning suppliers in the auction and are on a per tranche basis. For the BGS RSCP auction, those are $26,900 per tranche. For the BGS CIP auction, the tranche fee is $22,500 per tranche. Tranche fees will be netted against the first payment made to BGS suppliers that comes with the July statement. This includes the announcements thus far, and I'm going to pass. Actually, it does not include or conclude my portion of the presentation. I apologize. Just want to remind everyone quickly of data updates that we have made this month that are final, or the final updates that are will occur prior to the start of the BGS auctions. The final monthly data update was made on January 17th. That data is available on the monthly data page of the BGS auction website, available on the additional data page of the BGS auction website are CIP opt-ins, which are RSCP customers electing to take CIP service, as well as a refresh of municipal aggregation data. This is the final time that that data will be updated, and there are no more data updates that are scheduled to occur prior to the start of the BGS auctions. At this point in time, I'm going to pass the presentation to Dr. Chantal Lacasse, the BGS auction manager.
Thank you, Paul. We just went through the announcements, the recent announcements and information releases that have occurred. An additional one that we mentioned occurred on January 16th is the announcement of the rates for firm transmission service. These are repeated on this slide for your convenience. The announcement is posted to the announcement page of the BGS auction website. So a reminder that these rates correspond to the transmission charge for each EDC for the BGS CIEP supplier master agreement and to the baseline firm transmission rate in the BGS RSCP supplier master agreement. The master agreements are posted to the contract and credit page under the bidder info tab of the BGS auction website. These rates then reflect the OATT rate in effect as of January 1, 2018, and these rates assume RMR and TEC charges of zero. These rates are subject to adjustments under Section 15.9 of the BGS RSCP and BGS CIEP Supplier Master Agreement, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in the slides that follow. So I'll make a few notes regarding the rates for firm transmission service that were announced, in that each of the EDCs in a slightly different situation. Some EDCs have formula rates, some do not. Even those that have formula rates don't necessarily file at the same time. So let me just go through the notes, and some of those notes are expanding a little bit on the footnotes that were included with the announcement for the rates for firm transmission service. So So starting with PSE&G, PSE&G has a formula rate and updates that formula rate generally on or about October 15th of each year, and that rate then becomes effective on January 1st of the following year. So that's not a change prior to what has happened in prior year. This is just continuing what has happened last year and the year before. And of note is that the transmission enhancement charges for projects that are being developed by PSE&G are included in that rate. Of note for this year is that the announced rate, so the rate that was part of the announcement of the rates for firm transmission service, includes an update to reflect the reduction in the federal tax rate from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. So there's a recent filing that has been posted to the transmission docs page of the BGS auction website that provides that information. ACE also has a formula rate, and the announced rate in the announcement for the firm transmission rate is the rate that was approved by the board on August 23, 2017. ACE, as in prior year, will provide an update to that rate on or about May 15th, and it will become effective June 1st. So all adjustments under Section 59 are net of this announced rate. JCP&L filed in October 2016 for a change in its transmission rate, and the rate that was announced reflects the settlement that was approved by the FERC on December 27, 2017, in the FERC docket that's provided here, ER-17-217, and this rate is for interim implementation that's effective, again, on January 1. Finally, RICO also filed with the FERC in January 2017 for a change in its transmission rate, and the announced rate reflects the FERC order in that docket, which is ER-17-856, to increase RICO's non-formula-based transmission rate. As I mentioned, Section 15.9 for each of the BGS supplier master agreement provides some protection for changes in the firm transmission rate in that it provides for the recovery of and payment adjustment for changes in firm transmission rate that can occur over the term of the BGS contract. So after a transmission rate change, the EDCs file with the board to collect any increase in transmission rates from customers and track such amounts for the benefit of suppliers, and then such amounts are paid to BGS supplier upon issuance of a final FERC order. In specific circumstances, the EDCs may file for BGS supplier to be paid without a final FERC order, and the board has the discretion of whether or not to approve such request. After board approval of a Section 15.9 filing, DDCs pay BGS supplier generally when the change in transmission rate is subject to a final FERC order that's not subject to refund, or if they are directed to do so by the board. I mentioned the transmission docs page on the BGS auction website, so a note for bidders that this information has recently been reorganized and supplemented to provide information to bidders. So again, that's the transmission docs page. It's under the auction tab on the BGS auction website, and it provides the filings from the EDCs under Section 15.9 of the Supplier Master Agreement and the related board orders. The transmission documents have been put into four categories for ease of searching for the information that you may need, the first being regular NITs and TEC filings, a second category with RMR, reliability must run, and other surcharges, a third category with changes in transmission costs that come from cost reallocations. And then finally, a fourth category with other filings, such as a first filing to adopt a formula rate, for example. We have not provided on that page the compliance filings from the EDCs, so the filings that the EDCs would make in compliance with a board order following a request and filing by the EDCs under Section 15.9. But if you do require those compliance filing, please let us know and we can make those available to you. And more generally, if you are looking at that page and you're searching for a particular filing or board order and you don't see it available on that page and you think it should be, please let us know. Email us at bgs-auction@nera.com. So on that page, you will see a number of filings, and I'll mention some of these in that there are additional changes that are expected for transmission rates, and what's listed here are both changes in transmission rate that are expected and for which the EDCs have made a filing. In certain cases, the board has already issued an order, as well as changes in transmission rate that are still expected and where the EDCs have not yet filed with the board under Section 15.9. And we're not pretending to be exhaustive here and provide all possible sources of changes to transmission rate, but we're inviting you instead to look at the transmission docs page and to be on the lookout for potential additional filings as may be done by the EDCs. So these filings and potential orders are put into two buckets, one for PSE&G and RICO, the other for JCP&L and ACE. And the difference between those two really is that JCP&L and ACE have an additional filing for RMR for the RC Cape May holdings. Aside from that, the lists on the two sides are identical, with drawing your attention to PICO and to the Mid-Atlantic Interstate Transmission filings for TEC, for Yorktown, for RMR, as well as Con Ed Wheel, which is a reallocation of transmission costs. Not yet filed, but expected are the HDP or Hudson Transmission Partners and Linden VST, which is also a reallocation, as well as any changes in transmission rate that would occur as a result of the Seventh Circuit ruling. So all for all of these potential changes, the EDCs will seek the board's approval to collect for such changes through Section 15.9, and also based on Section 15.9, the payment to BGS supplier is subject to approval by the board. So to be clear, the board can approve a filing and approve collection from customers of certain amounts, and those amounts would be tracked for the benefit of suppliers, and the board's approval of payment to suppliers is a separate approval. In terms of whether the board could approve and the payment to suppliers without a final FERC order or in any particular increase in the transmission rate, DDCs cannot speculate and cannot speak for the board in that respect on the ability of the board or the possibility that the board would provide for payment to BGS supplier prior to a final FERC order. Also of note is that the board is expected to hold a proceeding on the impact of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act on the EDCs. So that concludes, if you want, the first portion of the presentation, where we're providing some updates and speaking of recent events. And we'll talk now a little bit more about the schedule from now until the auctions, as well as concentrate on the trial auctions, which is your opportunity of trying the bidding methods, the bidding procedures for this event, and providing you with various sequence from the auction software for bidding, submitting your bids online. So we already mentioned the trial auctions, and Paul mentioned the first part of the presentation that to be able to participate in a trial auction, you must first receive a confidential information packet. And to receive that confidential information packet, you must first return the letter to the auction manager that was included in your notification of registration. And that letter is for you to return your certification that you will continue to abide by the undertakings of your Part 1 and Part 2 information, Part 2 application, sorry. So if you do not return this letter, you will not receive the confidential information packet, and you will not be able to participate. In that packet or with that packet includes instructions for the trial auction that invite you to try various bid sequences and that also provide you with a round to practice, for example, the backup bidding, and that's to allow everyone to have an opportunity to participate. The trial auction begins at 9 a.m. That's the login for the CIEP auction. Round one will feature an automatic extension, as will the real auction. The extensions, strictly for the purposes of the trial auction, will last 10 minutes. The normal amount of time for an extension is 15 minutes. And we will keep the bidding phases short so that you can get your practice in the minimal amount of time. Now, I've mentioned that there was a confidential information packet for the trial auction. Note that there's a separate confidential information packet for the actual auctions that will be sent to you at a later time. So this confidential information packet is strictly for participating in the trial auctions. So those are Thursday, January 25th. The confidential information for the actual auction will be sent to bidders on January 30th, which is also the day, so 3 days before the start of the auction, where bidders will be informed of the starting prices for the BGS CIEP auction. A day later, the bidders for the BGS, registered bidders for the BGS RSCP auction will be informed of the starting prices for that auction. Then the auctions start, and after the board decision, should the board accept the results, then the winners will be required to provide information for completion of the SMAs. So let me pause on that for a second for the information for the preparation of the SMAs. I will note that bidders had an opportunity to provide that information as part or with their Part 2 application as an insert to the Part 2 form, and we ask or require that this information be provided in Microsoft Word format. So thank you to everyone that provided that to us already, to the extent that you provided it to us, but in PDF, and if you do win tranches at the auction, we will ask that you provide that information in Microsoft Word format. So that will be required of you by 12 p.m. noon on the day after you are notified by us that you have won tranches at the auction, so in advance of the board decision. All right. So I'll switch now gears a little bit in talking about the bidding method, and I'll be concentrating on providing information on the submission of bids online. And Paul will take over to provide some information on the backup bidding method and talk a little bit about technical preparedness as well. So as we've already mentioned, the main method for submitting bids in the auction is to submit bids online through the auction software. Trial auctions, again, are your opportunity to practice that, as well as the backup bid procedure, which is to provide the bid by phone. So what happens when you provide your bid by phone is you will phone the auction manager's office, and a technical assistant will, on your behalf, submit your bid through the auction software. So there's no real difference except that someone else will be submitting the bid on your behalf following your directions provided by phone. During the bidding phase, you have the opportunity to change your bid so that the bid that's valid is going to be, or the bid that counts is the last bid that's submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. So that's true whether you're submitting your bid, submitting and verifying, and we'll go through those two steps in more detail later on in the presentation. And it's also true if it's entered or submitted and verified by a technical assistant in the case of a backup bid. So that's when the bid counts, when it's submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. It does not count when it's called in. So that means it takes more time to submit a backup bid than it does to submit a bid online yourself. It's your responsibility to get in a bid on time. We make a number of recommendations that help you minimize the chance that you'll have any technical difficulty that could impair your ability to submit bids in the auction. But that being said, it's up to each bidder to determine what precautions, equipment, and other safeguards are appropriate to their participation in the BGS auction. If you are providing a backup bid by phone to a technical assistant, it is your responsibility to provide a complete bid that's consistent with the auction rules. So as a reminder, the BGS RSCP auction rules and the BGS CIEP auction rules are posted to the auction rules page of the bidder information tab in the BGS auction website. So that's the basics. I talked about the confidential information packet, and that's not what you have in front of you, the complete contents of the confidential information packet, but it contains a login credential page that will have the URLs that will be needed to access the auction software, will have the login ID and initial password and the code keys. So URLs, first of all, separate for the BGS RSCP, BGS CIEP auctions, and they're also separate URLs for the trial auction and the actual auction. So again, the confidential information packet generally and the login credentials in particular are different between the trial auctions and the actual auctions. The login ID unique to each bidder, and the initial password is a password that you will need to change when you first log in after accepting the conditions for use of the auction software. And those conditions are provided in the bidder information materials that will be sent to you by FedEx to have hard copies, and that are also provided on the backup bidding page. So just a reminder, the backup bidding tab is a separate tab on the BGS auction website. It is a protected tab, so you will need a username and password that are provided to you in that confidential information packet. So that's the access to the backup bidding page, and we will post on that page all materials that are for registered bidders in preparation for the auction. So throughout this presentation, you'll have a few tips at the bottom of the page. So this is just to remind you here that when you do change your initial password to something of your choosing, that should be something secure, of course, but there are also rules within the auction software, so it has to be alphanumeric. The passwords are case sensitive. They must begin with a letter, and they must be between 8 and 15 characters. The second tip is that if you do have to submit a backup bid at any point, you will be asked for your login ID and you will be asked for a code key. So you should always have those at hand if you are phoning the auction manager. So, and it's not just if you are phoning for a backup bid. To the extent that we need to identify you to provide information during the auctions, then you will be asked for that information. So please have it at hand throughout the bidding. A warning in consideration of multiple logins. So first we'll go over at the end of the presentation the web browsers that are supported by the auction software, and you can use any of those to log in as a bidder and submit bids in one or both auction from a single computer. You have to be careful to only use supported web browser, and I won't belabor the point because we'll go over that information a little later on in the presentation. The point of this slide is really that you should not log in both using a viewer ID and a bidder ID for the same auction from a single computer. So if you do that, even if you're using supported web browser and everything is fine, you can have errors in processing the bid. The auction software will not work. So let me clarify that a little bit. So on your login credential, you will have two login IDs, one to submit bids, which is a bidder, what we call a bidder ID here, and the other for just viewing the auction results. So that's a login that does not allow the submission of bids, and that's called a viewer ID. And if you are logging in for both the viewer ID and the bidder ID from a single computer for a given auction, either CIP or RSCP, then the auction software may not process the bids properly. You could still do it and try to use a different browser, but definitely it's not recommended. The bidder ID and viewer ID are meant to be used from two different computers by two different individuals. So on the slide that follow, I'll go through the auction software interface and various bid sequences. So starting very generally on the interface has various portion of the window. So the top portion, which we'll call the primary navigation bar, and that's also what that's called and referred to in the software manual. The software manual is included as Section D in your bidder information materials. And the screenshots that you will see in this presentation, by and large, are also in the bidder in the software manual. So in the primary navigation bar, you have a series of icons on the left-hand side. And clicking an icon on that primary navigation bar changes the content of the activity window, which is the bottom end of this screen. In the middle, you have the status bar that provides certain key information at any point during the auction, including the current round, your current eligibility, and a bid place box. So the bid place box will show whether or not a bid has been submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. So in the slides that follow, when we're looking at a particular content for the activity window, I will note which of the icons on the left-hand side I'm referring to. So first, the user profile. So that's the fifth icon that looks like a person. So if you click on that, you will get to the user profile. And what this is used for is for you to enter the contact information for the individuals who will be submitting bids on a given day of the auction. So you should update that information to the extent that it changes during the course of the day from one bidding day to the next in a given auction, so specific to the auction. You should provide a phone number where you can be reached directly, by which I mean without going through a switchboard or operator. You are able to provide contact information for multiple contacts, and you should use that as necessary, and you should update it as necessary. We will use the information in your user profile first if we need to contact you during the auction. So that could be because there's a technical difficulty for any reason, then that's the information that we'll go to first. We will monitor changes that you make to the user profile, so we get warned of any such changes, and we will use the latest information available. That includes various warnings about technical difficulties. It includes any courtesy calls that are placed by the auction manager, returning calls for technical assistance. So to the extent that you have a question and you were asked to call back at a particular time, the returning call will be made to the contact that's provided in the user profile. the schedule and the auction, so the most up-to-date schedule is always available through the auction software, and that's the first icon that you will see on the primary navigation bar starting from the left. So we'll provide the times for all phases of the schedule round, so the start and end of the bidding phase, which is the phase of the round during which you can submit bids, the calculating phase, which is the phase of the round where you cannot submit bids anymore and you don't yet have access to the results of the preceding bidding phase, and finally the reporting phase, which is the phase during which you will see results from the prior bidding round. Note that the schedule is pre-announced. In particular, in the bidder information materials for that are the companion documents to this webcast, there is a schedule that is provided for the first day of the BGS-CIP auction and the first day of the BGS-RSCP auction. And those are the schedules that we intend to use and that are expected to be used at this point. And those will be provided to you again shortly or the day prior to the auction. That being said, in each day, the schedule will be pre-announced, but the schedule is subject to change because both bidders and the auction manager can change or ask for changes to the schedule of the auction. I'll go into that in more detail in a second. So you can always go to the schedule to get the most up-to-date schedule for the auction. So generally, the schedule during the actual auction is emailed to your bidder team, by which we mean to the authorized representative and to any nominees that you have for which you submitted information in the Part 1 application. The schedule will be emailed on the previous day. To the extent that there are changes to the bidder team, so not everyone that you submitted, for which you submitted contact information, the Part 1 application, is available for the auction, you can submit updates to the bidder team by updating the nominee insert. So please provide that to us to the extent that there are other individuals that you want copied on those communications, such as the schedule. Another note is that the schedule in the auction software before the auction begins will not show the automatic extension. So it will look like everything is off by 15 minutes. But the moment that the automatic extension is triggered in round one, then it will display, the display will adjust, and the schedule will be the same as the schedule that was provided to you on the day before the auction start. So I mentioned that the schedule is subject to change. So first of all, bidders can call extensions, and a bidder starts with two possible extensions that it can call during the auction. And in a given round, the bidder can only use one extension. What an extension does is extend the bidding phase by 15 minutes. So if you have several bidders that all request extensions for a given round, the bidding phase only gets extended by 15 minutes. So it's not cumulative, but all such extension requests run concurrently. Furthermore, if a bidder does not submit a bid during the bidding phase, then to the extent that the bidder has extension requests available, then one is triggered automatically on behalf of that bidder. Another reason that the schedule might change is that a bidder has an opportunity and only a single opportunity to request a recess. So recess is a lengthening of the calculating and reporting phase. So extensions for the bidding phase, recesses is for the calculating and reporting phase. And that can only be called later on in the auction. So after round 10 and after a specific total excess supply threshold has been reached. And finally, the auction manager can call timeouts. So timeout would be called, for example, the volume has to be adjusted to ensure the competitiveness of the bidding environment. And also, and can be called to resolve technical difficulties as needed. So for all these reasons, the schedule is subject to change, and bidders should check the schedule tab as often as possible to keep up to date. So I mentioned the automatic extension in round one. So the bidding phase for round one is automatically extended for the convenience of bidders. Now note that even though there is an extension, everybody knows there's going to be an extension, bidders are still required to bid, submit their bid during the actual bidding phase. And if not, then they will have failed to bid during the bidding phase, and an extension will be automatically triggered on their behalf. So there's no gain to doing that because there's going to be an extension anyway, and bidding can only be extended once for 15 minutes. And what that will mean is that you will lose one of the two extensions that you have available during the auction. All right, so in the next slide, we'll see various bid sequences, starting with the basic bid for round one. So in this particular example, this screenshot is from the BGS RSCP auction, and generally the screenshots in this presentation are for the BGS RSCP auction. That being said, the BGS CIP screenshots are totally analogous. And if you are participating in both auctions, then you can see the difference between the two because they're color-coded differently, with the blue screenshots being for the BGS RSCP auction and orange for the BGS CIP auction. So in this example, the bidder has a total eligibility of 21 tranches. You see that on the top line of this bidding matrix or table that is provided on the bid entry screen. You'll also see the going prices for round one, which in this example are 17 cents for each of the EDCs. And the submission of a bid is basically providing a number of tranches for all EDCs. The constraints being that the total number of tranches, so that's the number of tranches across all EDCs, cannot exceed the bidder's eligibility, which in this example is 21 tranches, which is the highest possible eligibility at the statewide low cap for the BGS RSCP auction. For the BGS RSCP auction, there's a second constraint, which is that there's an EDC-specific load cap, so that a number of tranches bid on any given EDC cannot exceed that EDC-specific load cap. So on a practical basis, then, what the bidder is going to do here is select the number of tranches it wants to bid on each EDC by using the pull-down menus that are provided. So this is such an example here. So the bidder chose 8 tranches for PSNG, 5 for JSPNL, 2 for ACE, and none for RICO, so for a total of 15 tranches. So once that selection has been made, then the bidder can click on Submit Bids. So the big thing about submitting a bid through the auction software is that first step is just a first step. There's always going to be a second step, which is verifying the bid. So once that selection of the number of tranches for each EDC has been submitted, then the software will echo or provide you with the information that has been submitted here. So here it's the number of tranches for each of the EDCs of 8, 5, and 2. And you have to verify your bid for the bid to be submitted and verified during the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. Note as well that here the bidder started with 21 tranches of eligibility, but the total number of tranches bid is 15, so strictly less. And a bidder will be warned that it is reducing eligibility, and that's the warning that you see on this slide. So once you are satisfied with the number of tranches that you've selected, then to have a bid that's valid, you need to verify the bid. And once you verify the bid, you will then see this big bid confirm accept page or bid receive page as it is called in the software manual. And that is your confirmation that the bid has been accepted or received. Note that that bid receive page is going to look the same whether you submitted and verified the bid during the bidding phase of the round or whether it was submitted and verified during the extension. So it's not going to look any different. It's going to have a timestamp there. And you can always, from that point, change your bid by clicking the Change Bid button. And if you do that, you can change your selection and start your bid over. Now, note that, and as I've already mentioned, if you do change your bid, the bid that counts, the valid bid, is going to be the last one, meaning the last bid that's submitted and verified during the bidding phase of the round and processed by the auction software. That's going to be the valid bid. So in round one and in subsequent round as well, once the calculating phase is over and the reporting phase begins, you have access to results from the previous bidding phase, and you have two reports, and you can choose the report by looking at the pull-down menu, and it's not highlighted on this slide, but it's going to be highlighted in a slide later on. You have two options on the drop-down menu. You have a common report, and this is a report where all bidders see the same information, namely the prices for the next round and the range of total excess supply. And there's also a round report where each bidder gets a private report of its own bid. So that's kind of round one. Now I'll talk about other bids that can occur starting in round two and in subsequent rounds as well. Starting in round two, a bidder can certainly keep the bid the same. So this is the shortest path to having a bid that's submitted and verified in the bidding phase and processed by the auction software. The bid will be the default that you see when you get to the bid entry screen, and then you just have to click submit bids and verify bids, always two steps to be able to have a valid bid. You can withdraw tranches from the auction. By that we mean reducing the number of tranches that's bid on the EDC, on an EDC, and reducing your number of tranches in total. Note that you can only do that, reduce the tranches from an EDC, if the price for that EDC has ticked down. You can switch, which means increasing the number of tranches bid on some EDC and decreasing the tranches bid on other EDCs. And again, any reduction in the number of tranches you bid on an EDC, whether it's from a switch or from a withdrawal, is only possible if the price for that EDC has ticked down. Or you can withdraw or switch simultaneously. So we're going to look at some of those sequences and emphasize the cases in which you need to provide additional information, by which I mean you're always going to need to provide the number of tranches you want to bid for each of the EDCs. You're always going to need to submit the bid and verify the bid. But there are certain bid sequences where you need to provide additional information to complete your bid, and those are the circumstances that we're going to review. So the first such circumstance is when you're withdrawing tranches. So in this example, the bidder is reducing the number of tranches that it's bidding on PSCNG from 8 to 4 and reducing the number of tranches in total that it's bidding from 15 to 11. So it's reducing by 4. All the rest of the bid is the same between round 1 and round 2. So if the bidder clicks submit bid, before the bidder gets to verify the bid, the bidder must provide additional information. And the additional information that's required is an exit price. And the exit price is a final and best offer for the tranches that are being withdrawn. So The exit price must be above the going price and no higher than the prior price. So in the round one, the bidder was willing to bid those four tranches at a price of 17 cents per kilowatt hour, this being an RSCP screenshot, and at the new price of 16.56 cents per kilowatt hour, the bidder is no longer willing to bid those four tranches. So there is a price in between those, so higher than 16.56, so from 16.561 to 17 cents, that is the last price at which the bidder is willing to bid those four tranches. Note that there's one single exit price for all of the tranches that are withdrawn by the bidder at that point. So this is an extra step. So we're not going to show all the time the verify screen here, but always have at the back of your mind that the bid has to be submitted, any additional information has to be provided, and then the bid always has to be verified. So from here, the bidder would click continue and would get to the verify screen, and we're not showing that in this particular sequence. The second circumstance is switching. So not all the time, but there are circumstances in which the bidder is switching where the bidder will be asked for additional information. So in this particular example, the bidder is reducing the number of tranches bid for PSNG from 8 to 6, but that's only so that the bidder can increase the number of tranches that are bid on ACE and RICO each by 1. So the bidder is switching. The number of tranches total that the bidder is bidding is the same in both round 1 and round 2 at 15 tranches, but the bidder is reducing the number of tranches bid on 1 EDC and increasing, and that's the important bit, increasing the number of tranches bid for several EDCs. And when the bidder is in that particular circumstances, namely increasing the number of tranches bid for several EDCs, here 2 EDCs, ACE and RICO, then the bidder will be asked for additional information. So after clicking submit bids, the bidder will see an additional screen that looks like this, where the bidder will be asked for switching priorities. So switching priorities determine if the switch is only partially allowed. So if of the two tranches, if only one of those two tranches is allowed to switch, whether it will go to RICO first or to ACE first. And in this case, the bidder has indicated that it should go to RICO because it has priority one. So one is the highest priority. So in other words, when a bidder makes a request to switch, that request to switch can be denied completely or partially. And in case it's denied partially, then switching priorities is the additional information that's required. So the bidder, again, would bid continue. Again, we're not showing these screens in this particular presentation, but the bidder would have to verify, would get the bid receipt page, which the bidder can then print for its record. Another circumstance where a bidder may be asked for additional information is if a bidder is both withdrawing and switching. So this circumstance that's illustrated here. So first looking at the EDCs for which the bidder is reducing the number of tranches bid. On PSCNG, the bidder is reducing the number of tranches from 8 to 5 and JCP&L from 5 to 3, so a reduction of 5 in total. But at the same time, the bidder is increasing the number of tranches bid from 2 to 3 on ACE and from 0 to 1 on RICO, so that in total, the bidder is reducing the number of tranches bid by 3. So 3 tranches are withdrawn. So the bidder would select the number of tranches for each EDC, click submit bids, and the bidder would see an additional screen asking to designate the tranches to withdraw. In other words, there are 3 tranches that are being withdrawn, but there's a reduction of 5 tranches for PSCNG and JCP&L. 2 of those tranches are switched, 3 tranches are withdrawn. So the bidder must select how many tranches are withdrawn from PSCNG, how many tranches from JCP&L. So it could be all 3 are from PSCNG. And in that case, the bidder would submit an exit price only for PSCNG. In this case, in this particular example, the bidder has selected one tranche is withdrawn from PSCNG and two tranches from JCP&L, and therefore the bidder will get to submit exit prices for both PSCNG and JCP&L. So you will see this screen asking you to designate the tranches that are being withdrawn when you decrease the number of tranches bid for more than one EDC and you're switching. So it has to be determined which of the tranches that you're decreasing are being withdrawn and which are being switched. So after clicking continue, you will also get, and now combined into a single screen, an opportunity to provide the exit prices for the tranches that are withdrawn, so both PSCNG and JCP&L, and also the switching priorities. And you have switch priorities because you're increasing the number of tranches bid for more than one EDC. So you get to submit the exit prices and submit the switch priorities on a single screen, and then you click continue. And just to show you, as I have been saying, once you click continue and you've provided all the additional information, then you will have a verify screen. So we can see it here for this particular example, and you will see that it provides the full information on the bid that's been submitted. So the number of tranches bid on the first line with the going prices, the switches. So given there were three tranches reduced from PSCNG and one was a withdrawal, two then were being switched from PSCNG to ACE and RICO, the switching priorities, as well as the exit prices that were submitted. So once you do that, you can verify your bid, and then you will get a final screen, so the bid receive page that you can print for your records. In the next few slides, I'll be talking about additional rules in the software that come into play when a bidder has denied switches. So we've talked about the fact that a switch is a request to switch. It can be denied in whole or in part. So this particular screen provides you with a report to a bidder that shows that the bidder has a denied switch. So the denied switch is on PSCNG. So the bidder requested a switch from PSCNG to another EDC that was denied, and it was denied so that the auction manager could fill the tranche target for PSCNG. Now, what we will illustrate in the next screen is the fact that if the bidder chooses to bid new tranches for PSCNG at the price of the current round, then the denied switches will become bids at the going price. So, just so you have that in mind as we move to the next slide, right now the bidder has eight tranches at the going price on PSCNG, one tranche that's denied for a total of nine, and has eight tranches bid on JCP&L. So the bidder then switched three tranches from JCP&L to PSCNG, as you can see with the switches in, out, line on this screenshot. But if you look at the number of tranches that are bid on PSCNG now at the going price, it's not 11, it's 12. So it includes the denied switches. So the denied switches now is no longer there. Instead, it's been converted to a bid at the going price for a total of 12. So that's a circumstance where a bidder has a denied switch on a particular EDC and where the bidder is bidding itself at the going price on that EDC. The next example is where the bidder has, again, a denied switch at a given price on an EDC, PSCNG, so it's the same example again, but where other bidders are bidding on PSCNG at the going price and outbidding the denied switch from the bidder that we're considering. So when that occurs, the denied switch that you see now on the line as being tranches retained from denied switch at the price will be converted to free eligibility. And once that occurs, the bidder will see on the bidding screen for the next round a line that provides the number of tranches of free eligibility. So those were the tranches that had been previously retained on PSCNG from a denied switch at the prior round price and that now have become free eligibility. Most important is that free eligibility must be bid in the next round or it will be lost. It can be bid on any EDC. Now, also of note is that with free eligibility, the exact circumstances where you may be asked for additional information in your bid may be a little different. And we have an appendix this year to the software manual, so in section D of your bidder information materials, that provides some bid sequences with free eligibility. So that's the appendix to the software manual. In round two and in all subsequent rounds, just like in round one, there are reports to which the bidder has access, including the common report. You can print or you can export the common report that will provide the prices for the next round as well as the range of excess supply. So the range of excess supply is provided to you at the bottom of the report, and the rounds price, the prices for the next round are provided to you at the last line of the matrix. There's also a round report. The round report is a report on your specific bid, and as I mentioned earlier in the presentation, the way to flip between the round report and the common report is a drop down. There's also a round number that indicates which round you're looking at, so you can go back to prior reports and print them at a later time if you wish. So this round report is then your private and confidential report about your own bid. Again, you can print or export that round report. If you're having technical difficulties, you cannot access those reports and you need them to be able to prepare your next bid, you can call a technical assistant by calling the helpline, and we will provide those to you. Finally, just a quick reminder on the auction rules. We've already mentioned that the final decrement formula will be provided. It'll be provided by the end of the day and posted to the BGS auction website on the auction rules page of the bidder info tab. And the auction rules provide the formulas that are used for how prices tick down from one round to the next when there's excess supply on a particular EDC, that is, when there are more tranches bid than are needed on a particular EDC. And there are three regimes that are triggered by various total excess supply conditions in the auction. The auction starts in regime one, where the decrements are between 0.5% and 5%. Then, after a certain amount of reduction in the upper bound of the range of total excess supply that's provided to bidders, the auction moves into regime two, where the decrements are between 0.375% and 3.75%. And finally, at the end of the auction, towards the end of the auction, the final regime, regime three, that occurs, and the decrements are between 0.25% and 2.5%. So again, there will be a release of final decrement formulas and will be provided to you by the end of the day. So that concludes the overview of the online bidding process. And now we'll talk a little bit more about the second bidding procedure, namely submitting a backup bid and general recommendations for technical preparedness. Paul.
Thank you, Chantal. So as Chantal mentioned, I'll be going over the backup bidding procedures as well as general recommendations as you and your teams prepare for participating in the upcoming BGS auctions. So the backup bidding procedure is intended for those bidders who are having difficulty accessing the auction software. The backup bidding is done via phone and when you call into the auction manager's office, you will need certain information. You will need login IDs and code keys. The login ID is the login ID that you would usually use to access the auction software. Code keys are individualized one-time passwords that allow the technical assistant to verify your identity as the bidder and will give them one-time access into the auction software. The login ID and code keys are included in that confidential information packet that Chantal referenced earlier. In order to receive the confidential information packet for the trial auctions, you need to return the letter accompanying your notification of registration. Just a reminder, it is your responsibility to ensure that there is sufficient time left in the bidding phase or the extended bidding phase of a round in order to submit a backup bid. For that reason, we encourage you to attend the trial auctions. That way you can test the backup bidding procedures so you can see the sequence of events that occurs, but also observe how long it takes you and your team to submit a backup bid with a technical assistant. So the backup bidding procedure occurs in three steps. As I mentioned before, you'll phone the auction manager team. That is the Newark office number that you may have contacted during the application process. That's 973-297-0880. Again, make sure to have your login ID and code keys readily available. When the phone call is answered, indicate that you're calling to place a backup bid during the bidding phase or the extended bidding phase. If you have a question that does not relate to submitting a bid during the bidding phase or extended bidding phase, you will be asked to call back either during the calculating or reporting phases. Once a technical assistant is able to verify your identity using your login ID and an unused code key, they're going to ask you to specify your bid. This includes the number of tranches that you want to bid for each EDC at the going prices for a round, as well as any switches, withdrawals, and exit prices, as Chantal detailed when describing the online bidding procedures. The technical assistant will want to stay on the line and respond to questions from the technical assistant as they confirm your bid. The technical assistant will read your bid back to you, and you will receive a verbal verification from them via phone. It is optional, but you may request verification via secure file transfer. That is the file transfer system that is used to send confidential information to you. The verification page that you will receive from the technical assistant will be identical to the verification page that Chantal previously showed in the previous section of this webcast. Additionally, to backup bidding, you may hear from technical assistants for courtesy calls. Courtesy calls are reminders that the auction is in the bidding phase or the extended bidding phase and are provided only to those bidders that are at risk of receiving a default bid. A default bid, you will be assigned, all tranches will be withdrawn at the highest possible exit price, and if you receive a default bid and another bidder submits the same bid, your bid is disadvantaged in any tie-breaking procedures. While we will attempt to make a courtesy call, there's no guarantee that a bidder will receive one. Courtesy calls are made as time permits and on the basis of commercially reasonable efforts. During the bidding phase, bidders that have not yet received a bid that have one of their two extensions remaining will not receive a courtesy call because they are not at risk of receiving a default bid, because if they do not submit a bid during the bidding phase, an automatic extension will be called on their behalf and the bidding phase will move to extended bidding phase. Bidders that do not have any extensions remaining will receive a courtesy call from the BGS auction manager team. If you have not yet submitted a bid during the bidding extended bidding phase, you will receive a courtesy call from the auction manager. This is true for all bidders. As Chantal mentioned, I'm going to quickly go over the system requirements to access the auction software. System requirements are minimal, but we encourage you to attend the trial auctions in order to ensure that the systems that you have in place at your company will allow you access to the auction software. You need a standard computer running Windows 7 or later, or a Mac operating system 10.7 or later. We encourage you to have two separate internet connections, primary access through your company network, as well as a secondary network in the event that the primary network goes down. Supported web browsers include Internet Explorer 11 or later, as well as the current version of Firefox, Chrome, and Safari. We'd also encourage you to have additional PCs on hand and backup internet connections, as well as a designated phone line in the event that you have issues during the auction and you need to switch to a backup system. I'm going to spend the last few minutes of this presentation providing reminders and recommendations as you and your team prepare for the upcoming auctions. First and foremost, to guarantee that you maintain eligibility throughout the auction, you must submit a bid every round, and that submission includes clicking the Submit Bids button that Chantal showed earlier, providing additional information as required by your bid, so either switch priorities and or exit prices, as well as verifying. You must do this in order to maintain your eligibility as you move forward. We'd encourage you to bid as early as possible in each round. You can always change your bid with the Change Bid buttons that Chantal showed. We also encourage you to bid early in the event that you experience technical difficulties and if you need to submit a backup bid, as I described a couple of slides ago. If you do not submit a bid, you'll receive a default bid. And as a reminder, all tranches will be withdrawn that can be withdrawn as part of your default bid. You'll be assigned the highest possible exit price, and your bids will be a disadvantage during tie-breaking procedures. So we'd encourage you to submit a bid even if you are withdrawing completely from the auction. It is your responsibility to submit a backup bid with sufficient time. Again, we'd encourage you to partake in the trial auction so that you can see the time that it takes in order to submit a backup bid with a technical assistant. Backup bids are valid only when entered and verified by the technical assistant in the bidding phase or the extended bidding phase by the auction software. So you must not only call and submit the bid, but the technical assistant must verify it. So you need to give yourself sufficient time in order to do that. While the technical assistant will endeavor to assist you in your backup bid, it is your responsibility as the bidder to submit a complete backup bid that is consistent with the auction rules. And again, the auction rules are posted to the auction rules page at the bidder info tab of the BGS auction website. We will be distributing confidential information, as Chantal noted, on January 30th with the login IDs and passwords and code keys to access the auction software on the bid days. That information is only provided. That information is provided to the authorized representative, and the authorized representative is the only person authorized to distribute that confidential information. We'd also encourage you to stay reachable. That includes updating your user profile with additional contacts as necessary, as well as checking your messages frequently. Checking your messages frequently will allow you to see any changes in schedule that the auction manager publishes or any other updates and important messages provided to bidders from the auction manager. I believe I've said this a number of times, but I want to push one last time to participate in the trial auctions. And again, that's your opportunity to make sure that your company systems function properly with the auction software. It's both important. It's important for both new and returning bidders. Returning bidders, it's a good time to get your teams up to speed with the bidding procedures, as well as contacting technical assistance, practicing the submission of a backup bid, as well as asking questions relating to submitting bids on bid day. We'd encourage you also to have the software manual at hand that is Section D of this bidder information packet. It provides screenshots similar to what Chantal went through earlier that provides you with the bid sequences. So this sort of gives you the you can visually practice with the auction software manual so that you're familiar with the bid sequences as they may arise during the actual auction. Again, the auction software manual will be made available with the bidder information packet, as well as this presentation, as well as the presentation slides and audio on the backup bidding page of the bidder information tab of the BGS auction website. We will be posting these information materials today, and an announcement will be sent by the end of business day today when they have been posted to the backup bidding page. Finally, we'd also encourage you to review Section E of the bidder information packet. Section E of the bidder information packet focuses on technical preparedness and provides general recommendations as you prepare your systems and your bidding teams prepare for bidding day. This concludes the presentation portion of the webcast.